Everything's bigger in Texas, including the contract extension. CeeDee Lamb just got the bag, and we're rolling on Emotion Monday.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. It's your boy Theo Dorsey back at it on Emotion Monday and a Duffy's MVP Monday. We got my guy C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. Spinning it right, getting the vibes high on a Monday evening. And boy, is this Emotion Monday if we've never had one before. We got some major news to drop on y'all. We've been trying to keep it in. We've been trying to hold it back now for over a week at this point. And today, nothing will be the same after you hear what we're going to drop on you today here at ESPN West Palm and all across all the places you can find us. Of course, you're streaming us live on YouTube at Theo Speaking, and you can tap in anywhere when you just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 106.3. And that's going to mean something totally different going forward. So make sure you tap in and stay with the show as we roll that thing out. But the big national sports news of the day, it came from the Lone Star State, where I come from. Not Houston, though, but Dallas, because CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, his career earnings to date, C-Cat, if you want to guess, like take a stab in the dark, CeeDee Lamb, who was a late first rounder for the Cowboys, his career earnings to date.
Bad at this stuff, $16
million. $14 million through his first 4 years. Not off.
Not off at all.
Not too far off. $14 million. All of that changes today, though, because CeeDee Lamb striked a four-year deal, $134 million, $38 million as a signing bonus, $38 million today, the most ever for a non-quarterback, or specifically the most ever for a wide receiver, and he's going to be making $34 million per year, second only to Justin Jefferson. He's got the bag.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around. With your broke ass.
And the person he's looking at calling broke is Dak Prescott, because he and Micah Parsons still waiting on that next deal as Jerry Jones sits in the big office, just twiddling his thumbs and parading at least the fact that you got wide receiver one locked up for the near future. And what that tells me about this Dallas Cowboys team in 2024, this is it. This is the last dance with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott right now, because I don't know how, going into the future, if they're the Dallas Cowboys, you could say the core of Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons locked up to major deals, major extensions, is a team that you can actually consider to win Super Bowls for you. If that's what the goal is for Dallas, what you have to assume, Jerry Jones wants at least one more before you know, Father Time is undefeated. Like, I know Jerry Jones has been kicking and he's still good. He's giving great interviews, but I don't know if he wants to go out right now the way that it's sitting right now for Dallas. I mean, you know, 13 straight playoff appearances without reaching the conference championship game, the longest streak in NFL history. Like, that's what the Cowboys are right now. Jerry Jones ain't riding with that, CK.
That's having a ceiling. And you know what? CeeDee Lamb is not calling Dak broke ass. Dak Prescott had a $55 million cap hit this year.
Yeah.
He's a future broke ass.
Well, really, and honestly, Dak Prescott has more leverage than anybody in the NFL. He's going to play this year out and become an unrestricted free agent. He's impervious to the inevitable franchise tag that hits most quarterbacks before they hit the open market. He's going to be making $60+ million a year. But that's why I think specifically for the Dallas Cowboys, like, as much as we laugh at them as a franchise and Jerry Jones has built that thing into something where he bought it for like a $1.50 and now they're worth $10 billion if you ask Forbes, like, they haven't contended at a serious level in quite some time. And they have the core right now that feels like they're on the precipice of it. But again, if you have to pay Dak Prescott $60+ million a year because you weren't smart enough to get that deal done sooner, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly in the sense that the expectations are going to remain high for the Cowboys and they're going to continue to not clear that bar. And when I look at this squad, and we're 10 sleeps away now, 10 days from the NFL season actually kicking off, like real games being played, not the preseason crap that we have to sit through. 10 days, 10 sleeps until my Chiefs play your Ravens.
Ooh, a civil war.
That's going to be amazing. You can't wait. You can't wait to get a revised version to see what Derrick Henry looks like behind that new Ravens line. You can't wait to see what Lamar Jackson looks like in year two with Todd Monken. Like, and I just can't wait to get that three-peat. Talking about unprecedented times, like, this is exciting. This is exciting for me.
Yeah, the anxiety is more for me. Less can't wait because the Chiefs walk into that game with nothing to lose. Yeah. The Ravens have everything to lose in terms of public perception.
If they do lose that game in a embarrassing way, or even if it's a close call, like that is just a tough way. It can derail the rest of your season, whereas you saw the Chiefs lost that one week one to the Lions last year and then just rolled off. A bunch of wide receivers dropping passes. The defense looked shaky at times. Mahomes was throwing interceptions, I think 14 last year. Just rolled into a second straight Super Bowl win. But that's the kind of level that Cowboys offense wants to be on. And they were, again, now that they've locked up CeeDee Lamb now for the foreseeable future and they're hoping to see if they can bring Dak Prescott back. Like, Mike McCarthy had that offense rolling last year. The Cowboys felt like a squad that could do something. And it was the Packers, once again, who it seems like the Cowboys versus the Packers in the playoffs is like, you know, that's the boogeyman to them. Like, you don't want to see the Packers in the playoffs if you're a Cowboys fan these days, because it feels like you lose in these horrific ways, whether it's last year Jordan Love in his debut season taking you down. You got the Aaron Rodgers to who was the tight end at Aaron Rodgers? Jared Cook before they nail the game-winning field goal. Then you got the Dez Bryant no catch. Those all happened against Green Bay. That's like they haunt them.
Yeah, it's difficult because do you look at last season's playoff result for the Cowboys as a week-to-week league where we just pretty much had a bad week of practice, prepared the wrong way? It's not an indictment of what we've built these last, what it you feels hope. Like a decade. Is it that, or is it just a bad week of football? And it's hard to not look at the entire organization as, do we got to break things down and rebuild?
And even if they do, guess what? They're not going to be able to break down and rebuild. That CeeDee Lamb contract, which is now locked in stone again, 4 years, $134 million, puts him at second behind Justin Jefferson, above A.J. Brown, above Amon-Ra St. Brown, above both Dolphins receivers. And what this tells me is it is the last dance for the Dallas Cowboys as currently constituted. Like, this is what the Cowboys are going to be this year, and they got to strike right now before the rest of these NFC teams come back. You got to strike right now while the 49ers look like they're in the midst of a hangover. And now you really got John Lynch and the 49ers brass over the coals right now with that Ayuk deal that they're going to do. Like, they're going to low-key have to end up trading Brandon Ayuk. But to you, what does this mean? What is the Dallas Cowboys inking CeeDee Lamb before they get anything done with Dak Prescott or even Micah Parsons mean for the Cowboys in 2024 and going forward? Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Dominic in the chat says, Dak, boo. He's booing Dak like the Knowles fans were booing Herb Street. How did that pan out for them? Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. It's the last dance. It's the last boogie down for the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, and it'll be a fun one to watch, but damn, I cannot say how shocked I am that, number one, it took so long to ink a guy like CeeDee Lamb, which feels like an obvious thing after the wide receiver one season he had last year. Three straight 1,000-yard seasons, had a dozen touchdowns last year, 1,700 yards, led the league in receiving yards and in receptions, was the most consistent guy and really the only trustworthy player on the Cowboys offense. Like, C-Cat, there's nothing else out there for you to throw the ball to or run your offense through if you're Dallas.
Now, when we talked about this before the show, it's like Amari Cooper walked quite literally and figuratively for CeeDee Lamb to run, because he took the baton with Amari Cooper leaving Dallas for Cleveland, took it with a full sprint, and CeeDee Lamb probably had the better start to a wide receiver career that we've seen in a long time. It's tough to say that when he had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson also start their seasons off that hot, but it's really ridiculous what he's been able to do from a literal perspective, impacting wins and losses, and listen, got to bring it up. fantasy football perspective.
Oh, yeah.
He was a league winner last year.
Legitimately was. And this year he's being drafted as such, like a top two, three guy in most fantasy football leagues. But beyond that, too, it makes you kind of wonder, it's hard to replace a starting quarterback in this league when you have one in-house, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert. Even if they haven't proven it to you in like a very deep playoff run since, it's hard to just reset the clock on things with them and not give them the extension. So for the Dallas Cowboys, it seems like they're telling us CeeDee Lamb less replaceable than Dak Prescott. But you just brought up a good point, C-Cav. Like, we've seen receivers dominate early, especially in the past 5 years. The names you brought up, we're looking at a Malik Nabers who with Daniel Jones, people are still projecting him to be like a top 10 producing receiver this year. Marvin Harrison Jr., he could have the greatest rookie season we've ever seen as the wide receiver one for Kyler Murray in Arizona. And then you have guys, like you said, over the past few years, Jalen Waddle broke the rookie record. We saw Puka Nacua, of all people, who was on nobody's radar, a fifth-round pick for the Rams in Sean McVay's offense, pop out like we haven't seen a rookie do since Anquan Boldin. Like, this is an incredible day when it comes to passing game and when it comes to the priority of receivers. But maybe like CeeDee Lamb for $35 million makes me look at guys like Jalen Waddle and the $28 million he got. Like, that's a discount. Makes me look at these rookie receivers. Like, now I see why they broke a record for how many receivers were drafted in the first round this year. Like, it's easy to get good productive play out of young dudes.
Even in the highly scrutinized market that is the Dallas Cowboys, where the spotlight is on them, it is kind of tantalizing to lock yourself into the safe option, which is signing Dak Prescott to a long-term deal,
yeah,
which might solidify you a playoff berth every single season, which we've done the past decade or so.
You know what's crazy? They might just like be the Dolphins of the NFC. Prolific offense, exciting, a clear ceiling on the team because of the quarterback position, which everybody thinks Dak Prescott is good. Nobody thinks he's like primed to be the best quarterback in the NFC. A guy that would actually, like, if you put him in a game against Mahomes, actually take the throne and beat him. Like, we've seen him in playoff moments slide at the end of games and lose it. Like, I mean, you know, it's a lot of people's fault that that happened, but at the end of the day, it was his decision-making. I don't know. Like, they feel like the Dolphins of the NFC right now, and the only difference between them and the Dolphins is a guy like Micah Parsons who can say, I am the best player defensively in the league.
And that's door number one. Lock yourself into Dak and probably put a ceiling on your team's abilities. Door number two, it's scary. It's the unknown. What is life after Dak Prescott going to look like? You don't know. It could mean a higher ceiling. It could be dropping to the depths of the NFC, and you are fighting for wild card positions that you're not going to get.
And the Cowboys cannot stomach that at all, but I do think they are built for the future. They're built, actually, to bring a rookie quarterback in there. The way they've invested in the trenches in the draft, the way they have a bunch of draft picks next year, they will be able to trade up for a quarterback. Like, I would be excited to see them reset the clock and then see Dak Prescott go to a team that's ready to contend now in a different aura and space. But that's not even the biggest news that Adam Schefter helped break. That's not even the biggest news that Adam Schefter helped break today. It's coming. It's coming, and I think we can do it right now. Matter of fact, we're running out of time on this side. On the other side, we'll bring in Adam Schefter himself, ESPN NFL insider, the man that breaks all of the biggest news, and we'll make sure that he's able to tell you what they've been telling us. The higher-ups here in the suits have been telling us we have to hold back. So we'll bring in a real newsbreaker to give you guys the news of the day that's going to change everything in the way that you look at ESPN West Palm going forward. And on top of that, we're going to have a couple of special guests to embrace with us as well. My very first event that I went to, C-Cat, when I joined this ESPN West Palm team 4 years ago, and this is going to be a very nostalgic and emotional day as we make these announcements. Very first event I covered was the Boca Raton Bowl out at FAU Stadium. It was BYU, it was UCF, it was Zach Wilson. My first coverage, like a Zach Wilson game of all people.
Wow.
Shout to Zach Wilson. Well, we have the date for this year's Boca Bowl. It's going to be Wednesday, December 18th. It's going to be at FAU Stadium. We don't know what teams are playing, but we know it'll be two of the best group of five squads that we have in the nation right now, right? Like, it's a huge year for college football. Nothing is going to be the same ever again. One thing that remains the same, a certainty, it's going to be a huge party. The greatest annual outdoor party in Boca Raton, and that is the Boca Bowl. Wednesday, December 18th, prime time, and it's going to be on ESPN. You're going to be wanting to lock in on that and get your tickets. BocaBowl.com to lock in on all of the updates with the Boca Bowl. Again, that's BocaBowl.com to make sure you're tapped in and you know exactly what's going on. FAU Stadium, Wednesday, December 18th. Huge announcement. On the other side, we bring in Adam Schefter for his news-breaking voice. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Breaking news on ESPN 106.3 is brought to you by St. Lucie Battery and Tire. If your vehicle has issues with braking or other issues, get it fixed right now at St. Lucie Battery and Tire.
This is something I can hold on to no longer. And in order to bring it to you all, you good people, we bring in the big guns. How about we kick it out to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter with the changes coming here to ESPN 106.3. Adam?
All right, guys, I'm hearing things that everyone else has already heard. It's the worst-kept secret in media. ESPN 106.3 is growing starting September 3rd. Theoretically Speaking, goes from 2 to 4, and Russo and Rizzo join the team and go from 4 to 6.
Adam, appreciate your time there. Hey, get back to the CD news. Actually, you know what I need you on, Adam? See what's going on right there in San Francisco in the Bay. If Brandon Ayuk's going to stay and play, get more bread, or keep it pushing. But you heard the guy. Theoretically Speaking, adding another hour, 2 to 4, 2 to 4 daily starting next Tuesday, September 3rd. And also, the huge addition, the injection of talent and youth, and they're right here if you're tapped in on YouTube, streaming with us at Theo Speaking. My guy Colin Russo, my guy Mike Rizzo, Russo and Rizzo coming here to ESPN 106.3 September 3rd, the debut show next Tuesday. And I just got to start you guys off with this one, man. How the heck does it feel? You're in South Florida, you're ready to kick off your radio show, and you get the Schefty break on that. Like, That's huge.
That's big time. Are we live?
You're alive?
We're live.
We're allowed to be live?
Yeah, we're live. It's about time,
we're
right?
We're good now?
Yeah, it's about time, huh?
How many of those shows have y'all done that have been
handful,
live?
A handful. It's a couple of in the closet talking about whatever the hell comes.
You've been on. Hang on. You've been on with high school and things like that.
Studio shows with high school.
I've done one show.
Yeah.
I went from doing a show every day for 3 years.
Yeah.
I've done one show in almost 3 months.
Man.
So we're itching. We're itching to get on, and we're really looking forward to it. And we already love South Florida. We're acclimating. Obviously, we'll get into all that during the show, but we are very excited.
The funniest thing is you both obviously are you know, this is it. This is the bread and butter. You're coming through. Y'all are always talking super opinionated on everything. The one thing I do want to tip off on before I get y'all's thoughts on the CeeDee Lamb contract and whatnot, people got to know who you're rooting for out here in South Florida.
Oh, man.
It's a transient town, and for you, my guy Mike, like, you have it makes sense, right? You're
very
from
easy.
Columbus.
No, Cleveland.
You're from Cleveland.
Cleveland.
And you're a huge Ohio State guy. You like all the Cleveland sports franchises.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense for you.
It does. Born and raised a Browns fan, born and raised a Guardian fan, born and raised a Cavs fan. And my Ohio State fandom, Theo, I like to proclaim myself as the biggest Ohio State fan in West Palm Beach.
Yeah.
So there's that. Looking forward to a good year with Ryan Day. Graduated from Ohio University, though, the Scripps School of Journalism. Ohio guy through and through.
Gotta love it. Now it feels like for you, Colin Russo, it's almost like you chose misery for no reason.
That's not
when
the right
I look
way to
at
say.
Your sports
Hold
fandom.
Hold on. But, that's not right.
You chose mayhem.
That's not mayhem is not the misery and mayhem. I don't like those. You know what it is? I like to have, I'll get into the teams in a second. I think when you choose a team, it's a little bit of a bond, but it also, you're only as good as the fans you root for with, right? You know,
okay.
You're going to a Cleveland Browns bar, you got all the Cleveland people with you, and it's
Browns,
you
know, back bar. They got one here, Browns backers.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's not my cup of tea. I like to have my own thing. And whether you want to call this like self-centered or whatever the adjective you want to use, listen, I grew up in Connecticut. That is an in-between of New York and Boston fandom.
Mm.
I don't know if you've met a New York fan. I know there's plenty listening. I have my gripes with them. I think on the Boston side of things, Boston wins too much.
That's true.
Boston
Your
wins
whole
too
life.
Much, and it's obnoxious. And like, if you're a Boston fan, congratulations. You know, you got 11 championships. None of them feel as good as the last. And it's just, there's a little too much there. It's too easy. And so because of that, growing up around that, I didn't want to confine to that. I didn't want to, you know, be the Knick fan that thinks the Knicks are going to win the title every single year.
Well, this is their year.
When they only re-sign Julius Randle.
No, Theo, it was their year with Walt Frazier.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get involved with that. So I went in a number of different directions. Number one, the NFL team, I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan.
Oh.
What do you mean?
Keep going. Oh. No, that's cool. Keep going. No,
we can turn this on you. No. You want to do a free agency fandom.
Yeah.
I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Smart move. I was born in Kansas.
Was this after the second Super Bowl?
Yeah. This was after they traded Tyreek Hill. It was a down year. Bought the dip.
So what do you think? You were buying low?
I did.
He bought
the
dip.
You're not buy low.
I bought the dip.
The one dip.
There was no dip
in the Mahomes era. I bought the dip.
You had two titles. You had another appearance.
No, it was one. It was just one. One title.
It was after the...
They only had the 2019 title. It was the 2021 offseason.
So it was before they beat the Eagles.
Yeah, before they beat the Eagles.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So it's fine.
Real day one guy.
Yeah.
But what about
I got
the
it from the ground.
Hold on a second. They were in the AFC title game. They were in the AFC divisional.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Burrow.
Burrow, yeah.
And
overtime
then the
game.
Year before that, they were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. 2019 was the Super Bowl year. Oh, you're talking about the Buccaneers
they
year.
They lost
to
the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Walk me through that.
That looked abysmal, man. Patrick Mahomes was running for his life. I was actually hoping he would win that game.
He got killed.
Looked bad. Looked terrible, but they made my final four.
What are you trying to make sense of here? Are you trying to make sense that this is okay?
This is perfectly fine. Don't make this about me, Russo. I want to hear about your rest of your fandom after your Jaguars.
I'm gonna have some fun with
Theo.
Listen,
I am very different from you guys. I have sport. I growing up in Cleveland. That's all I know.
Yeah, y'all.
So for me to sit here and judge you guys.
Free agency of fandoms?
Exactly, because you don't, like, the cities you are from didn't necessarily have teams.
Yeah.
Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
You know, who am I to judge on who you root for?
I appreciate you and your non-judgment. I'm from Houston. I was born in the gap between the Oilers and the Texans. Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't have a squad. Right. I didn't have an NFL franchise that I attracted to.
Now, the Texans hold on.
I was a Panthers fan.
The Texans have been a franchise for a number of years now.
That's true. Just because they were incepted when I was already like a kid and had my own thoughts. I was a Panthers fan at the time.
I'm just going to ask. Astros?
It was cool. It was not a problem. Yeah. What?
Astros?
I'm Miami Heat.
Rockets,
Miami Hurricanes.
Rockets?
No, Heat. Miami
Okay,
Heat.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Being down here, being entrenched in it.
No, I've been a Heat fan since I was a kid. Shaq.
Okay.
Shaq got me there. Yeah.
Shaq?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq for the Heat.
That was...
Yeah, when Shaq went to the Heat, I became a Miami Heat fan as a kid.
Shaq for the Heat. Come on.
What do you mean?
It wasn't that
great. He won a chip. He won a title.
It was more so than that chip. Yeah. Colin
was
about 06. Want to talk about the 35 free throws that they gifted Dwayne Wade in game six?
You keep on trying to down Dwayne Wade in South Florida. You're not. Hey, look.
Theo, you and me. Unreal.
Yeah, Russo and Rizzo. I'm already going to be attacking y'all on a daily basis. You keep coming for the guy.
D Wade was unreal in that playoff run. And Shaq was the veteran that the young star needed in that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
he really was one of my favorite playoff runs of all time that I watched as a little kid. You know, Theo, 06? I was 12.
Yeah.
I was up late, staying up. The parents would go to bed. I'd run downstairs and watch the game.
You should look both of you should look up the free throw discrepancies between both them and the Mavericks.
Well, don't worry. The Mavericks made up for it for Dirk.
We got free throw. We got blame the refs guy. We got blame the refs guy over here already. So can we just get the rest of your teams? Did you got the Jaguars.
Did you blame the refs when Brady, I guess D Ford was really offside. I was talking about some Chiefs stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, it happened. It happened. The Chiefs got the late hit as well.
A lot of people were moaning about that.
Yeah, and when Patrick Mahomes has the ball, no matter how much time is left on the clock, why are people counting him out based off of one result? He was going to get there anyways. He's inevitable.
Right.
So he's inevitable, but they were on a down year. And you decided to become a team.
People were out on him. He was a street ball quarterback.
He was a tier below
Aaron Rodgers.
He threw 50 touchdowns a year and a half before that.
Yeah. And sometimes that's how the pendulum swings. You know how this goes? People were out on the Chiefs. It was perfectly fine.
I think this is fraudulent.
I think you're nervous to say the rest of your sports fandoms because you know that it's a little bit incredulous.
I'll give you that one.
I know. So look, y'all are already getting a hint to what Russo and Rizzo is going to be like here 4-6.
What did we just go? 15 minutes there? We just go 15 minutes
there. He just cruised.
Colin didn't even get to the rest of his picks.
C-Cat?
You got me over here pulling my hair out. We got an
out to
hit, guys.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise,
we got Mike Tannenbaum coming up, and y'all are over here stretching y'all's debut here. One last thing out the door, then, before we get y'all out and get Mike T in here, the CD Lamb contract with the Dallas Cowboys. I personally feel like this is the last dance at this point. Dak Prescott likely going to be a free agent and move on, and the Cowboys maybe reset that quarterback clock, but paying CD Lamb was an obvious choice. I like them giving him that contract. How you feel about
CD is one of those receivers that you pay.
Yeah.
You know, I said this, we say the same things about running backs, right? You know, like McCaffrey and the great running backs. You pay select few. CD Lamb is one of them. I don't necessarily agree this means that Dak Prescott's on his way out. I want people to realize if the Cowboys move on from Dak, it might take a little bit for a rookie quarterback to get things going, even with all the weapons. You know, I'm a big Caleb Williams guy, but at the same time, you're probably not going to get the generational talent in Williams because the Cowboys are going to be good this year when they go to draft the quarterback.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know what my philosophy is about that? I don't believe in paying receivers that type of money.
Wow.
And obviously, I don't think paying receivers, I think everybody should agree with this, that $140 million, point me in the direction where they paid a receiver and it's worked out. All of these receivers that have signed big contracts, what usually happens? Their quarterback cannot get paid, and then they are stuck, a la Justin Jefferson, ooh, with a quarterback carousel that directly influences their performance.
What stinks for JJ, too, JJ McCarthy, you know, is not going to be playing. And a lot of people, you know, you pay Jefferson, reset the quarterback clock. Maybe the Cowboys do the same thing like that, but
They got Micah Parsons down the line. That's the other part of it. Yeah.
They paid Cup. It didn't work out. A.J. Brown,
A.J. Brown got him to a Super Bowl. That worked out.
This is after.
Just Mahomes here.
I wish players, too.
They got rid of Tyreek Hill. They won a Super Bowl.
Two of them.
Like, I don't... Quickly,
who's counting?
Quickly as well. What happened to playing out contracts? I had this take on my lone show I did out here.
Yeah.
What happened to, like, aren't you supposed to play your contract out so your team can improve in the offseason?
No.
So your team could spend money
These are NFL players, not NBA players. They have a very short period of time to strike while the iron's hot.
Micah Parsons isn't a free agent until, 2 years?
He's
already looking for.
Yeah, but
what are you going to pay Parsons?
It would be a widespread exploitation from the owners in the front office to the players if the players acted like that. There's only a certain number of players, number one, and positions at that, too, that have that type of leverage. It's probably the quarterback.
That's it.
Maybe an edge.
Yeah.
That's really it.
But receivers, we've seen a quarterback like Dak Prescott specifically tear his knee out, right? Like break his leg, actually, and still get the bag. I think a receiver, a running back, or any other position, even an edge, is going to have struggle to get a deal like that on the other side.
Yeah.
So
I don't agree with paying that type of position, but, you know.
Quarterback?
What are you going to do? He wanted the money.
No.
Receiver. Okay.
Look at the Packers. To Colin's point, look what the Packers have done. Drafted a bunch of fourth, fifth, sixth rounders and figured it out.
Now, C-Cat's giving me the death stare. I got to get you guys out of here. Russo and Rizzo, our guys, Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, welcome to the market. Welcome to ESPN 106.3.
Appreciate it, Dale. Thank you.
It's all love, and we didn't even get to our picks, which we'll talk about maybe another day, but we're going to have a show war to start things off. But again, Russo and Rizzo starting next Tuesday, September 3rd, 4 to 6. You heard it from Adam Schefter. And theoretically speaking, with myself and C-Cat, 2 to 4 coming to you soon. Appreciate the time, brothers. All right, C-Cat, on the other side, we bring in Mike Tannenbaum to break down the real expert opinion on, again, CeeDee Lamb to the Cowboys. Is this a good deal and what that future looks like in the near side? It's theoretically speaking, on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Boy, that was something right there, C-Cat. We got some fast talkers pulling up. Southern brother like me, man. I got overwhelmed. It was attacking me at one point. You didn't even have my back, C-Cat.
I didn't. I kept my mouth shut, man. Four voices would be too much, so I'd let you fend for yourself.
Dog. Nobody warned me. Nobody warned me about these guys, how they get when they get behind the mic. Somebody who's very familiar with them and helped us actually break this news on ESPN 106.3 is our friend. We spend every Monday with him. He's the GM of, theoretically speaking, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider. Pulling up with us here on a Monday, Mike T, man, I understand you. You've known Colin Russo for a while here, man. Why didn't you warn us? This dude is attacking me on my Chiefs fandom and all kind of stuff. He's coming out the gates hot.
Yeah, I'm really surprised because, you know, I know him as someone who's like shy, reticent, you know, needs to come out of his shell. So I think that was like an out of character start, Theo, for his relationship with you.
Yeah, man. Like I was like, dude, we got a pit bull in here. But I am excited to be welcoming Russo and Rizzo to the lineup and welcoming them at the perfect time coming into football season, which is going to be guns a-blazing here for us here at ESPN 106.3. Mike T, when you first saw the deal, when you first saw CeeDee Lamb signing that extension with the Dallas Cowboys, $34 million, second most in the league APY, right behind Justin Jefferson. What's your first thought on that?
Yes, it's actually what I tweeted, like, what took so long? You know, Theo, like, we got a season to play. We got Cleveland on opening day. If I'm Dallas, like, I should be worrying about, you know, Dak Prescott and a million other things. So, you know, this is a deal that's richly deserved. And when you're running a team and you hit on a first-round pick like CeeDee Lamb, who's been productive, reliable, you know, high character on the field, off the field, like, he checks every box. Like, some deals are hard to figure out and difficult to think what's fair. This isn't one of them. So he got what he deserved. My only question is, come on, Dallas, like, what took so long?
Yeah, and that is curious, but it does feel like that's been something that Jerry Jones has been, like, grown accustomed to doing with some of these deals, doing them midway through camp and whatnot. Do you have any hope, any kind of, like, even an inkling, anything you see from this that lets you know that they might still, like, revisit the Dak deal this offseason before they start the year or even next offseason?
Yeah, they should. You know, like, when they didn't draft a quarterback, I felt like they were on the clock with Dak, guys, because they can't franchise him. And to me, you have every day, and Troy Aikman said this, guys, like, every day you have a little bit less leverage. So I was just surprised that didn't draft the quarterback. They got Lance, they got Cooper Rush, but I think they're really backing themselves into a corner.
Yeah, when we saw what they had in Trey Lance this preseason, and it did not look good. Mike Tannenbaum, NFL insider, joining us here on Theoretically Speaking on the heels of the CeeDee Lamb contract. We also still have an impasse when it comes to the contract situation with Brandon Ayuk. When you look at those top receivers in the league, and now you see CeeDee got $34 million a year, what do you think it's going to take for the 49ers to actually retain him? Because I feel like you can convince him in his camp he's not as good as Justin Jefferson. I don't know how much you can convince Brandon Ayuk that he doesn't deserve exactly what CeeDee just got at $34 million a year.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. Look, Theo, like, you could squabble here and say it's 32, 33. It, you know, a $250 million cap, I know $1 million or $2 is a lot to us, but, like, yeah, it's not that much of it. There's a deal there as well. And I think every day that goes by, you know, we've heard rumors earlier about, you know, teams like Pittsburgh. If I'm Pittsburgh, I have a new offensive coordinator. I got, you know, a new quarterback. I don't see Brandon Ayuk's value. Every day that deal doesn't get done, I think it's more and more likely he's a 49er. And again, like, I think that deal's somewhere between 32 and 34 a year.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here, talking wide receiver contract deals here as we near closer and closer to the NFL season. We're 10 days away from the Chiefs and the Ravens kicking things off in prime time on a Thursday night. As we get this close to the season, Mike T, what's your big burning, like, hey, we're not talking about this enough when it comes to the NFL that you expect to see play out when the season does kick off?
Well, you know, I think, like, getting CeeDee Lamb's deal is just part of the story here, guys. Like, what kind of shape is he in? You know, there's a couple other guys, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, is he going to play? And Ja'Marr Chase as an A, it makes Cincinnati a much better team than if he comes in and he's out of shape. So I think there's still a couple of these guys that haven't signed. Like, I know when we went through it a couple of years ago with Darrelle Revis, it, you know, what kind of player are you getting? And that can make a material difference to some of these early games. Deshaun Watson, ironically, Cleveland's playing Dallas on opening day. He recently missed some practices, guys, with a sore shoulder. Mm. Like, for a quarterback to come off of, you know, a shoulder surgery and now his shoulder sore, that caught my attention. So, you know, who's 100% on opening day to me is a big, big story.
And can we revisit the Revis thing? When that was when you were a general manager of the Jets, didn't he have a hamstring issue that year or something like that because he did hold out? What was the situation around when he did actually return to the Jets?
Yeah, Theo, like, that was the situation. You know, Buchanan, I felt like I let the team down. You know, like, our best player, and he was out. And he came back, and he was hurt, and it lingered for a while. And we wound up having a great year, got to the championship game. But, you know, those are the things that keep you up at night. Like, CeeDee Lamb is, you know, if you could check that box, and you're like, okay, great. You know, he's under contract. That's wonderful. But, you know, what CeeDee Lamb are you getting, especially early in the year? And for a skill player, you know, in Darrell's case as a corner, you certainly worry about, you know, the soft tissue injuries.
CCAT wants to jump in here, and also I want to let you know, you never let the team down here at Theoretically Speaking, so just, if that comforts you at all at night.
Yeah, I don't know how much the weekend football impacts his contract deals, in particular Trey Lance's performance. You know, some say he looked great, Some say he didn't look very good with 5 interceptions over the weekend. Do you think Trey Lance's performance this preseason at all impacts the Dak Prescott contract dispute?
I don't think so. I think you see, you know, someone like Trey Lance guys as a, you know, depth backup, maybe a developmental guy, but I don't think if we were running the Cowboys, we're sitting there saying like a guy that was just second in the MVP and Dak Prescott, team that was number one in points scored, is going to be replaced by Trey Lance. I just, even if he was lights out in the preseason, you know, Dak's playing at a really, really high level.
Appreciate that, Mike T. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Mondays. And also, we're going to love having you back on the shows on Mondays. And I do hear you're going to be making an appearance on Russo and Rizzo going forward as well, right?
Only if they're nice to me.
No guarantees the way that Colin came out the gate. So we'll see how that goes. Appreciate you again, Mike T.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's Mike Tannenbaum. As always, his appearances presented to you by Eisner Amper. And he is, again, the NFL insider and the general manager here for Theoretically Speaking. And he says he let the Jets down that year. Again, when you're making those decisions, you're trying to squeeze out, okay, does this much money make sense for this player at this position? It was interesting to say from a guy who's been in that seat, C-Cat, like the salary cap is $256 million. And we think that those $1, $2 million differences in the deals count and matter, but he just kind of said it. It doesn't. Like, especially when you're talking about a guy that's high of a level of talent at that position. Like, I would have thought fighting for every single inch and yard mattered more, and he's saying it doesn't.
Yeah, really. It's like they have really good accountants in the NFL. That's a newsflash for me. They can fudge these numbers any which way they want to, and that's a rather the fact these guys get paid a lot. When I'm talking about these guys, the guys in the NFL front offices, they the numbers work. Any which way.
Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. Now, that was a journey itself, talking CD, talking Brandon Ayuk. And before we get into our journey, before we strap up our seatbelts, I got to tell you about a championship-level campus, a championship-level school, and that is Kaiser University, the flagship campus right here in West Palm Beach. The Seahawks, they be a soaring. 22 national championships in the program's existence amongst many of their sports. They're the back-to-back champs when it comes to men's lacrosse, 3 straight in women's swimming and diving, and of course they have the reigning champs on the gridiron for NAIA football. 2023 was a beautiful year for the Seahawks, and the way that they hang banners around there, I would assume that we're going to be updating that number 22 number more and more for this season. Miles Russ got those guys ready for the fall there. KUSeahawks.com. KUSeahawks.com, that's where you can check out the fall football slate as well as everything else when it comes to Seahawks athletics as they look to hashtag defend the beach. KUSeahawks.com. C-Cat, how was your weekend, man? I didn't even ask you. You do anything special on Saturday, Sunday, get some vibes in?
I did not leave my apartment all day Sunday watching pro wrestling, watching the guys beat each other up in the squared circle.
It didn't, something wrestling news dropped. Somebody died. Pro wrestler died today, and I hate to just say that and not give the name, but it was a famous name that I actually recognized, and it kind of resonated with me. So we'll have to look into that.
Breaking news, edge of the
somebody,
seat.
Yeah, somebody did. Can you, I mean, look it up right quick if you could, man.
Who died? I don't know who died.
It literally just happened. He was battling cancer. He was 63 years old. I cannot remember his name. As we dig that up, though, I'll also tell you to strap up your seatbelts because it's that time of the day. Actually, on Saturday, part of my day was spent helping my sister pack up her apartment in Fort Lauderdale before we went out to dinner and had a great weekend. She's going to be moving soon, and so you know I'm getting her in touch. I'm in the process of getting her in touch with Safebound Moving and Storage because you don't want to do that on your own. Who was it that died?
It was Psycho Sid. Rest in peace.
Ah, yeah. There we go. There we go. So, again,
unceremonious, like, rest in peace from
rest
the show.
Peace. Rest in peace, man. You know what, though? We'll give it some space. We'll give it a little bit of breath, and then we'll strap up our seatbelts and hop on the Safebound Get Around. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Sid Vicious, man. I mean,
Psycho Sid.
Is what it is. The Safebound Moving and Storage Get Around. You're safe with Safebound. Where are we headed first?
Next stop,
Boulder, Colorado. Buffalo's football head coach, you know him by now, Deion Sanders, will no longer take questions from a Denver Post columnist, the guy's name is Sean Keeler, due to what Deion perceives as a, quote, series of sustained personal attacks.
See, this is... That is the act of a dictator to try and silence slash control the media. And we did find out from Feinbaum that apparently Colorado was so thirsty to get Prime in the door that they actually put it in his contract that he gets to dictate which media members he speaks to. So it's within his right. But I'll say this, when you're doing things like that before you even kick your season off, he must have low expectations for that team. It feels like he knows something that we also are kind of clued in on, that Colorado is going to underwhelm yet again, and he's kind of getting ahead of it before he inevitably departs Boulder to go wherever the hell Shador goes.
Could have stopped halfway through Dictator, and you'd be exactly right. I mean, Deion Sanders loves the attention when it's all good attention, hates it when it's bad attention.
It's all about
how
him.
That works.
It's all about him. It's if you follow the Deion story, it's always about what's best for Deion Sanders, and then it starts to pour out to everybody else, and now it's going to continue to shift to what's best for Shador. Happy for them. Get your bread. Must be the money, because it ain't common sense having stuff like that happen around your program.
Next stop,
we're at the Bronx, New York. Aaron Judge is a man possessed. He went deep twice yesterday and is on pace for 63 home runs in 2024. That would break the American League record he set in 2022. Check this out. Over his last 94 games, Aaron Judge has 44 home runs. You make that a pace for a full season, that's 76 home runs this year, of course, breaking Bonds' record.
Keep it G with me. Do you think Aaron Judge is a better baseball player than Barry Bonds?
Yes.
Absolutely not to me. Absolutely not. And the fact that Barry Bonds' numbers, which do stand still in the record books, along with his resume and all the MVPs, and he's not in the Hall of Fame, obviously it's the pro baseball writers, you know, guarding it with their dear life. But also, I saw what I saw, and Bonds still the greatest. He's still the greatest to me.
Aaron Judge hit the genetic lottery, and Barry Bonds didn't. Right, Barry Bonds paid his way to get those genetics and injected it into his rear end, and Aaron Judge didn't have to.
Made sacrifices. So he wanted it more.
Aaron Judge, if he got into the league a couple years earlier, which, you know, that's part of the process, he wasn't good enough to be in Major League Baseball a couple years before he did debut, he would no doubt beat the career record set by Barry Bonds.
That dude is a slugger, man. And you know what? I'm not anti-Judge. I'm just pro-Bonds. Get that man in the Hall of Fame.
Next stop,
Foxborough, Massachusetts. New Patriots head coach Jerod Mayo. Of course, he's taken over from Bill Belichick. He's given mixed signals regarding the Patriots quarterback battle between Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Milton. Last night, after the preseason game, he had this to say.
Would Drake May play if Jacoby's unavailable?
I would like to sit here and say 100% he's our second best quarterback on our roster right now.
Is that a yes, sir?
Next question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure until I watch the film.
Did you watch the Chappelle Show?
A little bit.
Oh, what were you about to say there?
Because he wasn't done.
Okay.
He talked this morning. This morning on WEEI radio in Boston, Mayo said, "What I would say is this is a true competition. I would say that Drake May has outplayed Jacoby."
So on the Chappelle Show, which again I grew up on, for better or worse, there was a segment where Keeping It Real goes wrong. And I do think Jerod Mayo is a genuine guy. He's trying to be honest in all of these press conferences and interviews. And he's keeping it real. He's being truthful. Drake May has outplayed Brissett, but he wants Brissett to start because that roster is not set up for Drake May as a rookie to have long-term success in this league. There's going to be some bad games. So Mayo's trying to keep it G with us. Sometimes that's not the best spot when you're the head coach of a football team. He's learning that the hard way. I still have faith that the Patriots franchise will be good and in good hands with both Drake May and Jerod Mayo, because it's a good thing if your rookie quarterback is actually outperforming the bridge guy. But you got to start Jacoby Brissett. You do.
Next stop.
We're getting closer and closer to the polls.
Wow.
We are about to vote soon, Theo.
Uh-oh.
We got an important message that you've got to hear.
Well, our Palm Beach County, Palm Beach actually is the poll of the week presented by the Palm Beach County Supervisors of Elections. We got the general election November 5th. And if you have been registered to vote, you got to make sure you are registered to vote by Monday, October 7th, in order to make your voice heard. Your voice is your voice, and we're here to make it count. Visit registertovoteflorida.gov. That's registertovoteflorida.gov for all the info you need to be ready to go in November and make your vote count. And our poll of the week, simple. Who is currently the best college football team in the state of Florida? After Florida State got, beat in Dublin, Ireland. And C-Cat, you'd be surprised to know, the Canes ahead right now on Twitter at ESPN West Palm with 67% of the vote. So Miami has the confidence of the state after, them going overseas and Knowles and falling to Georgia Tech. On the other side, we give out the Duffy's MVP of the weekend, the biggest shiner, the biggest star from a weekend full of sports. And we did have some good action. As C-Cat, I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Well, they bunt Alexander with the runner at second base, Norton. He gets it down. Oh, it's perfect. It's Blake Barry's going to win the Little League World Series championship. Chinese Taipei in shock.
That courtesy of ESPN on ABC. Team Florida winning the Little League World Series. I mean, they were down 1-0 with just three outs to go. And there you have it. That is going to be our Duffy's MVP of the weekend. Not just winning the Little League World Series, but winning it with a bunt. Big shout to the game-winning batter, if you will, even though it was a bunt. Hunter Alexander, who got him through. He squoze that thing down. First baseman's nowhere to be found. And then here we are, the champs on top, the Little League World Series. Big time Team Florida. You a big Little League World Series guy, CK?
I used to. I went to baseball camp there in Williamsport once, but I got to call attention to the past tense of squeeze. He squozed that thing down.
Squozed that thing down. He squeezed it.
Shout out USA, man. Fundamental baseball. Thank you, Duffy's.
Duffy's MVP of the weekend. Again, Lake Mary Little League. Bringing the title back to Florida, the area of champions. And if you want to make sure you're a champion for your fantasy football league, DuffysMVP.com. That's where you need to go to tap in to make sure you can book that private room. There's still time. Book your private room for your fantasy football draft. You can get the jumbo wings. You can get the award-winning burgers to go alongside with your sleeper pick that you get in the eighth round. That's a win-win. Two-for-one drinks all day, every day. Plus, there's 80 or more television screens at every Duffy Sports Grill, so you can make sure you're locked in on the action as well. DuffysMVP.com. At Duffy's, our game is always on. And we take you home with this today on a Monday, Emotion Monday. Again, the new lineup. If you didn't hear, Theoretically Speaking, getting a second hour. We're going to be 2-4 starting next Tuesday, and we're adding Russo and Rizzo 4-6. A lot of fun for the next generation of ESPN West Palm. Go in peace, go in love, go enjoy.